Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Chuckies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We got MMA analyst Luke Thomas joining us at 8:40. But joining us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline is John Feinstein, Washington Post columnist, best-selling author. He's brought to you by Golfdom. They have what you need to live the game. Golfers, it's never too early to prepare for the 2023 season. Golfdom can fit you for the latest clubs to get you ready for the season. Also, visit Golfdom and Tyson's for the latest cold weather gear. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, everybody. How are we all doing?
Doing all right. Doing well. Hanging in there. I'm sure you saw the news that our mutual friend Mike Bray, I guess, is leaving. They're saying it's mutual, which is a weird thing. I don't know why the AD had to kind of throw that out there, but you know, it's been a tough season for Mike. He doesn't. I've been saying, and this is no disrespect, he just doesn't look good the last few years. I think it's taken a toll on him. Might be the right time.
They were good last year. They won 24 games. They went to the NCAA tournament. And I looked it up last night. He's been to the NCAA's 15 times, which is a good number. Made the Elite Eight twice. Never made the Final Four, which I know is the biggest disappointment in his career. But Mike's not one of these guys who has to coach to live. Jason knows him well, obviously. He'll be 64 in March. He's got grandchildren in Florida. He's got a place. He's had a place in Rehoboth forever. I can see him walking off into the sunset and being perfectly happy. In fact, I sent him a text after they beat, I think it was Georgia Tech, for what is their only ACC win at the moment,
right,
saying, hey, you know, great to get a win. And he said, well, I had to throw away my resignation speech. So it's obviously been on his mind, and I think you're right. It's been on his mind for a couple of years because, again, he's passionate about competing. He's passionate about winning, but he's one of the few coaches I know who understands there's more to life than basketball.
Yeah, I could see him going down to Florida. His brother, I talked to his brother yesterday, Shane, and he lives down in the Orlando area.
Right.
I could see him going down. Does Mike have a house in Florida right now?
I don't know if he's got a house, but his son Kyle lives down there.
Yeah, he coaches for IMG. Yeah.
He works coaching for IMG Academy, and there are, two grandchildren.
Yeah.
And Mike spent a lot of time down there during COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously a slightly better place to be than South Bend, Indiana. Mike's got plenty of money. If he doesn't have a house yet, he can certainly buy one tomorrow.
Yeah, I could see him doing that. And I could see him, now maybe he takes a year to kind of just enjoy himself, but I could see him doing TV.
I could see him doing TV, too.
Yeah.
The question would be the travel.
Right, right.
I think one of the things that coaches find they do not miss when they stop coaching is the travel. And, you know, that's why Jay Wright took the deal with CBS rather than ESPN, because he didn't want to be in Stillwater, Oklahoma on a Monday night. He wanted to, you know, go to the New York studio, which is a, what, 2 hour less or less drive from Philadelphia, or an hour train ride, and then travel during the NCAA tournament. But he didn't want that much travel, because we don't understand that coaches do the majority of their traveling during the off season, mm-hmm. when they have to go out to recruit.
Right.
And it wears on. I mean, I know that all the travel I've done has worn on me through the years, so I understand it.
It's a lot of driving you do, John, that you undertake.
Yeah, and you know, but for years and years and years, I flew. You know, yeah. I only stopped flying, really, and didn't stop, but cut way down on my flying after 9/11. So that was almost 25 years of being in and out of airports all the time. And even before all the 9/11 restrictions, it got pretty old.
Hmm. It makes me kind of wonder, you know, Georgetown, we've talked about them the last couple of weeks. And their last loss was the Villanova game. They lost by 4. They were getting about 14, so they played them tough, but they, of course, still lost. And they got to play Xavier on the road. Xavier's tops in the league right now.
Xavier's coming off a loss, too.
Lost to DePaul, yeah. So,
yeah.
It kind of makes me wonder if we're going to hear something similar from Georgetown in the next couple weeks. I don't know.
Yeah, again, we've discussed this, yep. and I do not see, unless Patrick makes a decision to make an announcement during the season, I don't see anything happening till after the season is over. How he stands it, I mean, this is a guy who, remember, went to 3 Final Fours in 4 years as a college player, and who was on very good teams in the NBA for much of his career. How he's dealing with this, you know, on a personal level, I have no idea. It's got to be making him crazy. Because you're right, Monday against Villanova, they had a chance to win the game. They were up very late and then got outscored 8-2 or something in the last 2.5 minutes. And that's what losing teams do.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's very difficult. All right, do you have any interest in the NFL playoffs this weekend?
Sure, I have an interest.
Are you pulling for anybody, any coach, any quarterback?
I'm pulling for the Giants. I mean, the Jets have always been my team, and I'm not going to, you know, claim that I should just jump on the bandwagon because they've had a good season. But they're an intriguing story. They didn't re-sign Daniel Jones or give Daniel Jones a fifth-year contract, and I thought that was the right thing to do, by the way. They brought in Brian Daboll. You know, lifelong assistant. And Daboll's different than a lot of these 35-year-old coordinators who all look like they could be movie stars. He doesn't look like he could be a movie star. He's in his 50s. He reminds me a little bit of Ralph Friedgen, mm-hmm. who didn't get his chance as a head coach for a long time because he's a big fat guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he finally got his chance at Maryland, he was a huge success. And Daboll reminds me of that a little bit. They've obviously done a great job. People are saying, well, the Vikings off defense wasn't any good. Well, you're right, it wasn't any good. They still won 13 games. I'm always amused by how people here in Washington, you know, get such a kick out of Kirk Cousins' failures. Let me ask you this. Would you trade Kirk Cousins for any of the guys who played quarterback here since he left?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. How about in a heartbeat, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, the whole, oh, Kirk can't get to the Super Bowl thing, you know, amuses me. Because the guy's a damn good quarterback. Is he elite in the sense of, you know, the guys who are still playing who are going to be in the Hall of Fame? No. But he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And letting him walk the way they did was a mistake. The Washington making a mistake, film at 11. But I am interested in the Giants. And the Buffalo-Bengals game, of course, has an extra bit of I guess poignancy because of what happened 2 weeks ago when they played.
Mm-hmm. Hey, John, getting back to Daboll for a second, his success in 1 year and Sirianni's in 2, that really just lights the burner underneath Ron even more, because Ron loves to go up in front of the press and say, well, we got to do this, it's going to take 2-3 years, you know, I got to build this thing. Daboll didn't need 2 or 3 years. Sirianni's gotten done back-to-back playoff appearances in his 2 years in Philly. So that kind of rings hollow for Ron.
Yep. No. And again, when you judge Ron's performance after 3 years, you've got to look at the ownership situation. You can't just discount that. I know he's had control in terms of final decisions on players and things like that. And so it is ultimately his responsibility. But working for Snyder is different than working for any other owner. And Jerry Jones is a pain in the butt. But he sticks by his guys. I mean, he stuck by Jason Garrett for 10 years. And he's still sticking by Mike McCarthy, at least for the moment. And, of course, Dan's never stuck by anybody. But you're right, though. You're right. What Daboll and Sirianni have proven, and what the guy in Minnesota proved, whose name I'm blocking on right now,
Kevin O'Connell.
Is you can turn it around quickly if you make the right decisions in terms of personnel and if you've got good players. I mean, the Giants have good players. They don't have great players. They got a bunch of retread wide receivers. I mean, they almost threw that game away on Sunday because the kid they picked up on waivers from Buffalo dropped a ball that any of us probably could have caught.
Hodgins, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good game, but that was an incredible. That was hard to drop, and if he catches it, he's going for a first down, and then the game's over.
I think it was Slayton. Slayton made the drop.
It was Slayton. Yeah.
Slayton. You're right. It was Slayton. Yeah. But anyway, you see my point, I do understand. I've said this before. I completely understand the frustrations of fans here in Washington. I'm not a fan of the team, certainly not a fan of the owner, but as someone who's been a fan of the Mets and the Jets, for crying out loud, I can understand the frustrations.
What do you know? I know you know, back in the day you wrote your book on the Ravens. You followed them around. I'm not sure. Was Roman there when you did
No.
He wasn't because he was there in 2006.
Matt Kavanaugh, was the offensive coordinator. And everyone in Baltimore wanted him fired.
Yeah.
Because it was his fault, apparently, that Kyle Bowler wasn't a very good quarterback.
So then you don't have an opinion on Roman, then you don't know the guy personally or anything?
I don't know him personally. Here's my general opinion, though, on offensive coordinators, is that when a team fails, their role is vastly overrated. It's got to be the offensive coordinator. Byron Leftwich gets fired in Tampa. I guess it was his fault that almost their entire offensive line was hurt all year and that Tom Brady started looking 45. Somebody takes the fall if it's not the head coach. Somebody takes the fall. What have there been, four or five coordinators fired? And Sean McVay fired eight of his coaches? I mean, wow. After saying, well, maybe I won't coach next year. And then he said, no, I'll coach, but I'll get rid of everybody else. There have to be fall guys in the NFL. Because no matter what town you're in, whether it's here in Washington with Scott Turner, or in Baltimore or anywhere else, somebody has to take the fall. Again, I don't think it's Greg Roman's fault that Lamar Jackson got hurt. I mean, going from Lamar Jackson to Huntley is like going from Ernest Hemingway to me. Lamar Jackson is if he can stay healthy for the next 10 years, which, of course, we've seen is a major if, but if he can't, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he was a unanimous MVP, and now you got a backup, and the offense was designed for Lamar Jackson. And they had a chance to beat the Bengals. Now Huntley made a bad play that turned that game around. But to turn around and say, to Greg Roman, it's your fault that Lamar Jackson got hurt, I think it's a little bit ridiculous.
Talking to John Feinstein, best-selling author, whose last book was Raise a Fist, Take a Knee. And in that book, you tackled minority coaching in the NFL, the lack thereof. And I saw that you tweeted this recently. You got a lot of vitriol because you said that Mike Tomlin was a good coach.
Yes.
Who thinks otherwise?
I don't get it.
Why? I don't understand that.
Well, some of it is the simple fact that fans in Pittsburgh are spoiled because the Steelers have been good for so long. I mean, they've only had three coaches in 50 years.
So Chuck Pittsburgh Cole, fans breaking your balls about it?
Oh, yeah. Most of the people who were screaming were Pittsburgh fans who said, it was his fault they started 2-6. Well, it really wasn't because he started the season going back and forth between a rookie quarterback and a retread. And it's actually spent the season going back and forth. And finally, when Pickett was able to stay healthy, they played better. And whether he's the answer for them going forward, a quarterback, nobody knows. But he was filling in, treading water after a guy who was an 18-year starter retired. which is hard for any coach. And I talked to Tomlin a lot when I did the book that you just referenced. Thank you. And he's one of the bright, tough guys in the NFL. What I love about him is he never pulls a punch. He just tells you what he thinks. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people don't like that. And look, I know people are going to scream. There's a racial element to this. If Bill Cowher had the exact same record that Mike Tomlin has, there would be far fewer people in Pittsburgh screaming and yelling that he's, quote, mediocre. That was the word that kept coming up, mediocre. Hmm. Guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'd kill to have
him. There are about 30 teams that would hire him in a heartbeat.
If for some reason
he was ever let go.
In a heartbeat. Would you like to have him here in Washington as your coach?
Are you kidding?
Are you kidding? Seriously? And but, you know, there were several people who tweeted at me, well, he's missed the playoffs 5 times. That's in 16 years.
Right.
You know, and they missed this year with a 9-8 record, which got other teams in. And so, yes, I did. I did get a heart, and I did take it personally because I do happen to like Mike. I think he's just a class act and a hell of a coach.
Do you think it matters? The reports come out. Nobody knows what's happening, right, with this ownership deal with the Commanders. It seems like something's going to happen. The reports are that Dan has indicated the owners he's going to sell at least the controlling interest, majority interest, whatever. Would that be good enough for fans if Dan
No,
is,
not if Dan's still in control.
No, not if he's – no, if he sells a controlling
interest. If he sold
60%.
30%. But he's not going to do that. He's not going to do
it's
that.
It's all or nothing?
Yeah, because remember the ego involved here. He's going to want to, you know, stand up. Well, I got the highest price in the history of sports, which he probably will, by the way. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine said to me the other day, it really upsets me. You know, again, the guy has been a fan of the team for his whole life. It really upsets me that Snyder is going to walk away with $6 billion, $6.5 billion, whatever it might be. And I said, the guy's already rich. What do you care? You just get rid of him. Get him out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way most fans feel. Just get him out. I think I told you the story the night that I was at the Damata Smoker. And somebody said to me, you know, during the Q&A, somebody said, you know, what's your opinion of Dan Snyder? I said, he's the worst owner in the history of sports. I got a standing ovation.
Nice.
That's an easy applause line.
Yeah. I know. It was one of the great hanging curveballs ever. I hope that the report, the Post has been, on point with all their reporting on Snyder. And I hope their reports that he might sell by as soon as March are true. And I'm sure the NFL owners would love to get him out for the start of the official start of next season.
Yeah, and on Twitter I saw some people, you know, were bringing up Bowley. I think it's Todd Bowley who was in the running. It sounds like he's now
in
out of the mix. Mm-hmm. They were like, that guy's a meddler. He meddles in Chelsea and the European soccer. I'm like, it's better than Snyder. Anybody is better than Snyder.
Anybody's
Even
better
if it's a
than Snyder.
Just bring anybody else in.
Yeah, anybody else would be an improvement. And the guy Harris, who's owned the teams in Philly,
right,
and who's a DC guy, sounds like he'd be pretty good. Bezos is sort of sitting back, and of course Bezos can come in and blow anybody away with a bid anytime he wants to. And the question is, does he want to, or does he want to wait it out and see if he can get Seattle? Because I know he'd rather have Seattle because he lives there.
Mm-hmm. Were you at that meeting that was reporting that Bezos just showed up? It's a meeting at the Post?
No, I don't go to meetings at the Post.
Smart man. Meetings are overrated.
When I was a kid at the paper,
yeah.
Catherine Graham used to bring in new people, you know, like 10 at a time for lunch in her dining room. And it was very fancy, you know, and everybody would kind of sit around nervously. And finally she looks at us and says, tell me honestly how you think our paper could be better. Now this is, you know, right at the height of Watergate when the paper's riding about as high as you can ride. And it's Catherine Graham. And so we're all silent. And so she says, come on, don't be shy. You know, don't be intimidated. That was the word she used. Tell me what you really think. So I said, well, Mrs. Graham, we do a terrible job in the sports section, not getting game stories into the home edition and not getting box scores into the home edition. There's no reason not to. I mean, I was working on the rim half the time, I knew. And she looks at me and she says, John, you need to be more intimidated. And I was.
All right. Well, John, what do you have going on this weekend? personally?
Well, Jane has a swim meet tomorrow.
Nice.
Right. Which I will obviously be going to. And then I think I'm going to go see GW play Dayton. I got to tell you, James Bishop has become an interesting story for GW, because when he first transferred from LSU 2 years ago, he wouldn't pass the ball if you offered him the Washington Monument. And the other day when they beat George Mason on the road, which was a damn good win, he had eight assists.
Right.
That's a different player. Okay. And he's got a chance, depending on where GW finishes, but he's got a legit chance to be the Atlantic 10 Player of the Year.
Props to Caputo. Got them playing
well. Yeah, Caputo's got him playing well. Absolutely right. And here's the other sort of irony. Yeah. If Mike Bray had retired a year earlier, he might be coaching George Washington.
Yeah.
Might have just said, yeah, I'm going to come home and finish here for 5 years.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But now they've got a real solid coach.
All right, John, got
enjoy
to run.
Enjoy your weekend.
All right, guys, have a great weekend. See you.
Best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom. They have what you need to live the game. Golfers, it's never too early to prepare for the 2023 season. Golfdom can fit you for the latest clubs to get you ready for the season. Also, visit Golfdom and Tysons for the latest cold weather gear. Golfdom, live the game. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Packed show. Luke Thomas will join us coming up at 8:40. We're going to get into the Slap League, UFC, John Jones.
LT.
A lot of things to get in with Luke Thomas. That's coming up at 8:40. But this is going to be your buzzkill segment.
Okay.
Why?
Why? We're heading into the weekend,
this
JP.
This is
the one
about booze?
Yes.
Why are you going to be a killjoy over there?
So Valentine's Day is coming up. I suggest you go to Steven Singer Jewelers.
Good idea.
Get the new rose.
Yep.
But some people actually get wine subscriptions.
Okay.
They give those away or all kinds of stuff. And Drab hands me the story because so Valentine's Day is coming up. There's all that stuff. But then like the counter is, well, what would a wine subscription do to you, or what does drinking do to you? And there's a new study coming out of Canada, so you can disrespect it. I think it's
right.
The Canadian Center on Substance Use and Addiction. They say if you have more than two drinks per week.
Two per night.
Okay, two per week.
Two in a calendar week.
It's going to pummel your health, everything from cancer to heart disease and everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
They say all those studies that say having the drinks, you know, a glass of wine every night, that they're bogus.
Mm-hmm.
The drinks, generally speaking, not good for you at all.
Yeah.
But once you get over that two per week, you're cooked.
What about all the stuff you eat?
Well, of course, that's bad, too. They'll do a separate study.
Right, but where's their study on that?
They didn't do one because their center of
this is from a substance abuse place, right? So there is a little bit of a bias there. I know that my doctor who – and here's the one thing I've learned over the last few years is all the institutions everywhere are corrupt. So that's my bias. But the
– I'm an alcoholic.
I think the CDC guidance used to be – and again, take it with a grain of salt because you couldn't take that organization with a grain of salt.
Oh, we know
that. They said two drinks
per day.
He told me if you have 14 or less, you don't have to have a conversation.
Silly. I think I fall right in that.
And I believe that was the CDC or the FDA, whatever horrific organization was. It was their suggestion.
Right.
That you're fine.
I mean, I think if you talk to 100 doctors, they'll probably tell you 100 different things.
According to this one, again, coming from Canada, says drinkers who enjoyed 3 to 6 drinks per week risk developing several types of cancer, including breast and colon cancer. Mm-hmm. People who have over 7 drinks a week significantly increase risks of heart disease or stroke.
Cakes.
And it also stated
that do all the drugs and all the booze.
Wow, there's countless. And Keith Richards, Nikki Sixx, Dave Mustaine, like any rocker from the 80s.
I don't think
just put their name in.
They're still doing fine.
I think this is the absolute most accurate statement, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what organization. I don't think you can be able to knock this. That not drinking, has benefits such as better health and better sleep. I don't think you're able to combat that.
Probably not.
Like, we don't know how bad drinking is for you, but not drinking is going to help your sleep and your health.
You know what's probably also good for you? Not having ice cream.
That's true.
Not eating the cheeseburger.
Right. And
it's true.
Not eating a slice of pizza or two slices of pizza.
Right.
Hamburger.
But unless you just eat lettuce and blueberries your entire life and just drink water, there's chances are something you're putting in your body's not good for you.
Something's going to be harmful.
Yeah.
But the thing, it is very, just like you say, some people say, well, a little red wine is okay for you because it does this for you. Some people say eggs are good for you, eggs are bad for you.
Right.
I mean,
if you like cholesterol, it's good for you.
That study.
Some people say cholesterol means nothing, really.
I know. It's all about moderation.
That study from Canada is not going to sway me one bit because later today, I'm going to go out to my beer
store. You're going to have your weeks full.
You're going to go to your beer store.
I'm going to grab a 12-pack and I'm going to slam it into my fridge. Yeah. And I'm going to have one or two cold ones before I go to sleep
Probably two. And considering it's a Friday, maybe three.
He never really does three. He's in a box.
No, he sometimes does.
I've done three.
That's like
before.
An overtime Caps game.
Here's what, usually I keep a limit during the Caps games because I'm driving home.
Mm.
But
no, I meant when you're watching at home.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Up in the bedroom.
Game, yeah.
Up in the bedroom. Weekend, have your IPA.
Usually it's two. Sometimes you feel a little bit spicy during a weekend. Might be three.
Mm-hmm.
All I think about not slow me down one bit.
All I think about is Drunk Mike. And Drunk Mike will have 100 beers in a week.
Haven't heard from him forever.
But he's been doing that for years. He seems fine.
He's our age. Do you think he's going to make it to 75?
That's right.
I don't know.
He's an extreme case.
But you know, this is also true. I believe of all your organs, your liver, and Mike has talked about this, regenerates and hooks itself better than any other one. So in other words, you can stop drinking.
No, but they're talking
about
heart disease,
mm-hmm.
and they're talking about strokes, and they're talking about cancer.
That's why you should get a portable sauna. That hooks the heart.
But you know what? As we get older, I was just thinking about Kris Kringle, and the Kris Kringle thing is what we do every Christmas. Our high school buddies, I don't know, 10 or 12 of us get together. Mm-hmm. And back in the day when we were in our late 20s, early 30s, I just remember just getting housed and being stupid and just being stupid and staying up till 4 in the morning playing poker.
Make a big gulp.
Right, right.
Cup this big full of mixed
Stop drinks. Liquor.
Like a Long Island iced tea. Yeah.
This past
year. Every kind of liquor you could think of.
This past year when we went over to Tommy Horsey, our buddy Tommy's house in Columbia, and we had Kris Kringle, we had about the same amount of people, 8-10 people, and Jerry's gave us food and everything was great. I had two drinks the whole night.
That's plenty.
That's good.
I know,
that's good.
Because I didn't want to feel poopy the next day. So as you get older, you just dial it back naturally.
Of course.
So even
you
Drunk Mike,
feel poopy more easier.
Drunk Mike, I still guarantee you, when he goes to Commander's games.
Yeah, but I bet you he doesn't drink as much as he used to.
On Saturday night, you know, I'm not really not a big drinker. And this was over the course of like 3 or 4 hours.
Our weekend.
I had
over here.
I can't remember the cocktail the guy made. It showed up. He made like some sort of special cocktail. It wasn't an old fashioned, but so I had that, and then I had like two seltzers, which is like soft. That's I understand like, that. Usually I'm an IPA guy.
That's a freaking Kool-Aid.
But I was
seltzer.
But I had that, and then for whatever reason, shot of tequila. Like there was like a shot later
put
in the
you
night.
Over.
Tequila,
and I felt like
I can't drink tequila.
I woke up at 5:40, and I'm not one of these guys who like, oh, I can't sleep in on the weekends. I can sleep in on the weekends,
so can sleep
but I woke
in.
Up at like 5:45 because I was
felt
going
like
to bed. I mean, I had to just go to the bathroom.
Yeah, you
and
felt
then,
like butt. Yeah.
Then I found out that the Chargers didn't win. I was like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
I learned long ago to turn down, now politely, but to turn down shots from Junk's listeners at our old appearances. And I've pretty much kept that.
Yeah, this wasn't
going.
A listener. It was like at a friend's house.
Yeah, it was a party. Yeah.
No, here's my
answer.
It's
not worth it doing shots at 52 years old.
If you want to have a couple drinks a day, according to my old doc, who I did fire, by the way, that two drinks a day is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're worried about your ticker, get in the sauna.
Mm-hmm.
You make sure you go for a nice walk every day.
Yeah.
If you're worried about, what else are you worried about, you said?
If you're strokes,
I'm at the chicks myself. My heart
strokes.
Ticker.
You take a little baby aspirin every
Ticker's
once in a while.
Mommy.
Make sure you up on your vitamin D.
Take your meds
during the winter.
Take your gummies.
Yeah, make sure you're lifting.
You guys take a lot of stuff.
I take
energy B12. Energy
that's
gummies.
Good. That's good.
I take vitamin
you have
C.
So much energy.
Well, I do. I'm maybe not from 6 to 8, but I got a little energy now, don't I?
Yes.
Well, I'm high on caffeine.
I mean, hello. I got vitamin C gummies. I got the apple vinegar gummies.
So many gummies.
I've got.
You need to raid your locker.
You have any dentine?
Oh, I take my fish oil pills.
Yeah.
For
I'm
low cholesterol.
I'm powered by Harbo gummies. Not one vitamin.
So every
gummies.
Morning when I wake up, I go down to the kitchen. All right, I got all the gummies right there in a little rack, and I start popping them.
What is that
clear
me?
Every single
hour.
Day?
You have a pill container.
He's got to clear the gummies out in the morning.
You know what I recommend for you, for your cholesterol loss? Citrus bergamot. Silly.
Hey, you know how you guys, you know how you guys did the great porno swap?
Yeah.
Since you guys are getting up there in age, you guys should do a pill swap.
Well,
invite old
idea.
Listeners.
I don't have any.
All I have is melatonin, and I do have a cholesterol meds.
I'll trade you two Lipitors for a...
I'm good.
All right, I'll do that.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk a little combat sports, some MMA, the Crazy Slap League. Luke Thomas joins us next here on The Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Join us right now is our pal Luke Thomas, combat sports analyst for CBS, Showtime, co-host Morning Combat, the podcast, and he started actually here on this station. You know what? We always have Kevin talk about the first time he came on the air with us like 17 years ago. Luke, when did your story start? Like, I mean, I did MMAC with you, but when did you first start on the radio?
So that was May of 2007. You and I worked the very first pro MMA event at the in D.C. ever. It was at the D.C. Armory, so that was May of 2007. I was on maybe a month or two after that. So I've been on with the Junkies for 15, almost 16 years at this point, which I got to say I'm very proud of.
And now you've very lapped nice. Us, let's be honest. Yeah, you've lapped us. You're one of the many guys who've lapped us.
This just happens.
But yeah. That's cool.
It's nature.
So we had you on to talk about the Slap League. I see you're quite opinionated on that. But there's a lot of things I want to get into you from John Jones to Ngannou and some other things. But let's start with the Slap League. I think you're basically just disgusted by it, right?
It's just... disgusted is sort of one word I suppose you could use. I don't even know how exactly I fully feel about it. But yes, it's revolting in one way because people are trying to say like, oh, it's not better than other combat sports in terms of the damage. First of all, we have no idea if that's true. Second of all, there's literally no defense. Like, there's zero defense. Yeah. I don't even understand.
Right.
Like, aside from being revolting, it's boring. It's boring. I've been watching combat sports for, you know, the vast majority of my adult life, and I'm not bored by it yet. Can you imagine watching slap fighting for 20 years?
No.
How on earth could you justify a thing like that? So it's both shocking and awful, and then also just really limited as a form of entertainment.
Well, I just think it's so stupid, but I do think that there will be an audience for it. Like, first of all, I don't know who would do it. Like, who would be so dumb to just stand there and take a slap like that? I mean,
desperate people.
They're just hitting you with a sledgehammer, essentially. I mean, it's unbelievable. But, you know, people do go to, like, websites and watch hangings and, you know, that kind of stuff is popular.
Remember, bum fights was a big thing back in the day.
Yeah, but did that
stay in power? Yeah, bum fights was a big thing. All of those, though, were not airing on TBS.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sort of the big difference here. This is supposed to be a thing that TBS is doing, and I think Dana White and whoever else was involved try to professionalize or button it up in a way to make it as palatable as possible. But in the end, it just is what it is, which is, you know, we're talking about the lowest common denominator of entertainment. I mean, yeah, people will watch hangings, but they're diggity dogs. I mean, they're not people worth taking seriously.
I watched MILF Manor the other night. I think that's a little lower than Slap League.
MILF Manor?
MILF Manor. That's with the moms and the sons in a dating pool.
So that's what it is. It's the sons.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Twist.
Oh, I think I might like that.
But Luke, I don't think
that's fair.
I'm with you. I don't see the entertainment value. And I saw like a 30-second clip on Twitter. I would never seek it out on TV. But one dude got slapped, and then he started going into the fencing position because his brain was rattling around in his head. Like, how is that entertainment?
Well, all of these guys, obviously, and women, they just want to die early because that's what's going to happen to them.
I guess.
If they continue to do it.
Car crashes. We like violence. Are you kidding? We like violence.
Yeah, but I like my violence baked in with my sports, like football and hockey. Like, it's part of a bigger thing. It's not just some dope standing there and waiting to get slapped in the face. To me, it's just different.
Like Tua did the fencing pose with his fingers, right? Okay, which is terrible. I mean, that's really bad. But Tua's rich. I mean, how much do you think these guys on Power Slap are getting paid? Right. I mean, we're already talking about a situation where the UFC is under a fair amount of scrutiny for fighter pay and how much they share of their overall collective revenue. Are you under the impression that those guys who are in charge of that are going to be paying people who get slapped in the face for a living, who, by the way, are all chubby and overweight? These are not exactly like paragons of health and fitness. Like, are we under the impression that this is a thing that's going to be like handsomely rewarded down the line? Like, it's just ludicrous.
You think they have health care?
What
insurance company is going to?
It's awful.
Cover
but
those.
We want people watch awful stuff all the time. MILF Manor, Kardashians,
Pawn Stars.
It's all stupid. And it's just to me, it's just another.
I'm not saying that zero people will watch it.
I was more a Storage Wars guy, but I have seen some Pawn Stars. I can't lie.
So let me ask you.
Okay, but the reality is, the last thing I say on this, the reality is this: like, they had a lead-in yesterday for their debut episode, which was delayed by a week for all the controversy from Dana White and his wife over New Year's Eve, and it basically, they had a lead-in from AEW, which was more or less a shade under a million viewers. Power Slap averaged less than 300,000. They lost 600,000 plus viewers over the course of it. Yes, there is an audience for it, but I'm not sure there's one you can sell ads against on national TV.
So, Luke, I haven't watched it. I saw one highlight of the woman got pummeled and she fell over and she did a somersault and she couldn't even walk straight. I mean, do these power slappers, do they take more than one punch?
They do three.
That's three rounds. Yeah.
They can take three of those?
And then they give three.
Yeah, it works in that kind of a way. But, I mean, here's the part.
How can they physically do that?
Well, I think if they get viciously KO'd, then cannot. I mean,
that's
what I'm saying.
No more. No moss.
I think you have 10 seconds, right?
But yes, that's right. You can get rocked, and there's a bit of a window in which you can come back. I mean, again, it's kind of funny. It got regulated. One of the things that the UFC or whoever was in charge, Dana White and everyone else, it's not clear exactly who from UFC is also involved in this, aside from Dana himself. They went to the Nevada State Athletic Commission to get it regulated, which to me is like, if Nevada presents itself as to be the best commission in the world, it might be the worst. It truly might be the legitimately worst commission that there is. It is shocking how bad they are. So they have rubber stamped this. It should also be noted, sort of as a side thing, like the commission trying to give it an air of legitimacy. All of the ringside physicians spoke out against it, saying it was a disaster to try and do something like this. Beyond that, the Nevada Athletic Commission lobbied on behalf of promoters in Las Vegas to make sure that fighter pay was no longer public. It used to be that they would publish whatever the fighter pay results were per card. So I bring this up to say the commission and the promoters now work on behalf of each other, not so much for health and safety, and their record is atrocious.
Talking to Luke Thomas, combat sports analyst, CBS, Showtime. He's got the Morning Combat podcast. All right, so let's get to some real fights. You know I'm a fan. I went to see Covington Masvidal several months ago, which was kind of a disappointing match, but I still enjoy going to a big event in Vegas. This is my opinion. To me, currently UFC kind of lacks star power right now, which is why I think John Jones is moving into the heavyweight class and getting a title shot right off the bat. Talk about Jones now as a heavyweight. He's fighting Gane. I'd assume Jones wins because he never loses. Although I saw you throw in a slide remark, and I agree. I think he lost to Reyes, but he got the decision anyway. What do you see here with John Jones in the future?
Yeah, so, by the way, it's pronounced Gong. Okay. It's a Cyril Gong, which John Jones called him Cyril Gain, which is just very funny, guys. Super, oh, what a joke. The reality is this. He has been out for 3 years. He, as you mentioned, he last fought in February of 2020 against a guy named Dominic Reyes, who since that fight has fallen on very hard times. Yeah. In fact, there's been calls for him to retire. I thought he won that contest. I did not think Alexander Gustafsson or Thiago Santos had beat John Jones, but he won, and then he rode off into the sunset during the whole pandemic era. Folks may not realize this. He had two brushes with the law during that time. One time he was found basically drinking inside of his car, firing gunshots in an abandoned part of downtown Albuquerque. Basically nothing ever really happened to him. He was arrested or whatever, but nothing really happened to him because at the time it was with COVID. They didn't want, you know, prisons or jails overcrowding, so they just sort of shuffled everyone through. Nothing really happened to him. And then about a year and a half later, he got in trouble in Las Vegas for, you saw him banging his head on the front hood of a police car. There was a domestic violence incident. You know, he has been not exactly like, you know, rigidly in the gym, but to the extent he has been, he has joined up with a guy who was the Olympic gold medalist in wrestling, now two-weight division world champion, Henry Cejudo, in his gym over in Arizona, and everything that comes out of that gym tells you that he has looked great. I think that his wrestling is not what it once was. Cyril Gane's strength is he is a dynamic athlete from France. That's where he's from. He is huge. He is super athletic. He is a very good striker. He is a little bit weak when it comes to wrestling, which you saw in his last bout, or two bouts ago, excuse me, against Francis Ngannou, the guy who was the champion, who just left the entire organization over basically pay and contract dispute and everything else. So if the old John Jones can recapture what he once was, yes, he probably should win this. However, if his relative decline at the end of light heavyweight before his long break, and then this long break, the ring rust, is real, then he's going to get mopped up.
Hmm. And nothing's going to happen to Dana, right, for his slapping the wife incident?
I'll say this. Nothing is going to happen to him now, right? Nothing's going to happen to him now because, you know, this is not a – I mean, listen, he's rich and powerful. That we don't punish people like that in this part of the world, in any part of the world, really. But he is going to avoid it. He has too many connections. He has too many billionaire friends. ESPN totally tucked tail and didn't do any real coverage of it until it was way too late. And obviously Endeavor doesn't seem to be bothered by it too much in the end. Otherwise, they would have sanctioned him. However, I will say this, and this is like the longest leash ever. I do wonder if public opinion is beginning to sour on him a little bit and the worthiness of him being there, like how essential to the business being run day to day is necessary for him to be there. There's a big open question about that, and I think he shortened his leash in terms of how much more the public and or the larger power players will tolerate based on this pretty dramatic episode.
All right, Luke, I'm just going to go down the card here for this weekend.
Here we go.
Let's start with Brandon Moreno against Diverson Figueiredo. It's basically an even match. What do you like there?
Yeah, Diverson Figueiredo. This is the first quadrilogy in UFC history. So first time inside the UFC, guys are going to fight each other four times.
Oh,
and
wow.
For Figueiredo, it is back to back to back to back. He has had no opponents in between. Figueiredo figured him out last time. What were the odds on this one, Lurch?
Moreno is -130. Figueiredo is +102. So basically a coin flip.
It's basically a coin flip. Figueiredo is the champion, and he was the one that won the last one. They are in Brazil for this one. Mm. Might take a flyer on Figueiredo.
Okay. Glover Teixeira against Jamahai Hill. Jamahai Hill? I think I pronounced it right.
You did not. It's Jamal. Jamal Hill.
I got to look at that.
Yeah, you're right. That is.
Luke is correcting every other name, I'm here for it.
Well, wait a minute. It just looked like an I, but it is an L.
Yeah, get some glasses, bro.
In fairness, the first time I read it, I was like, Jamahal Hill? Who the hell is that? Right. No, it's Jamal Hill. Right. This is a tough one. Glover is my age. He's 43, and he's still out there duking it out with these guys. Jamal Hill is a very fast, athletic guy with really good hand speed and very good KO power, but he has a whopping hole of a game in the ground, which is where Glover is very, very good. Again, Glover, Brazilian. This is in Brazil. The crowd is going to be extremely hostile to anyone who is not Brazilian. That is a coin flip, Lurch. I wouldn't bet on it. Gun to my head, I'd probably go to Shera, but I would just stay away from it. It's way too volatile.
Hey, Luke, I'm going to jump in. We only have like 30 seconds. I got one more. Lurch can text you. Are they basically letting guys juice now in the UFC? Because McGregor's blown up. I saw Cowboy Cerrone, same thing. Like, what are they doing with steroids now? Like, the guys can do steroids and then just for 6 months they don't test? What's the deal?
I don't have too much time to explain it, but the basic idea is this. They found a loophole where you can more or less either retire, like fake retire to do this, or essentially get out of the testing pool that you're supposed to be in for USADA to juice up and then re-enter it without much penalty. That's the very, very Cliff Notes answer. It right. doesn't affect the wide range of the roster, but certain guys at the top, yeah, they could probably get away with it.
All right, Luke. Good stuff as always.
All right, man. Great hearing from you, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Congrats on all your success.
Boys. Take care.
All right.
Yeah, have a good weekend.
Luke Thomas, he's got the Morning Combat podcast. You can catch him on CBS and Showtime talking all things combat sports. Coming up next, we shift gears, open up EB's entertainment page here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.